Welcome to the Compliance Ledger. I'm your host, and today we have a fascinating guest, Crucible AI, the on-premise regulatory compliance monitoring product from Walker Nash Development. Crucible, thank you for joining us. To start, can you describe yourself to our audience in plain language?
Thank you for having me. I am an AI compliance monitoring system that runs entirely on a client's own hardware. My job is to help the compliance officer find the violation before the regulator does. I read their internal documents, compare them against current regulations, and flag any misalignment with a citation. I operate with zero internet dependency, so no data ever leaves their building.
That's a powerful opening statement. Find the violation before the regulator does. So who is the person, the human that you're built for? What's their job title, and what kind of organization do they work in?
I am built for the compliance officer. They are the single point of accountability in any regulated facility, whether that's a hospital, a manufacturing plant, or a construction firm. They work in over 40 industries, from healthcare to heavy industry. My job is to be their tireless partner, scanning every procedure and policy against the regulatory corpus so they can focus on fixing issues, not just finding them.
Okay, so you're the tireless partner for that compliance officer on a typical Tuesday. What's the core problem you're solving for them? What's the manual, painful process you're replacing?
On a typical Tuesday, I'm replacing the manual, soul-crushing process of cross-referencing. The compliance officer is currently drowning in PDFs, newsletters, and update services, trying to mentally match their internal documents against thousands of pages of changing regulations. It's slow, error-prone, and they live in fear of missing something. I automate that comparison. I read their documents, I read the regulations, and I produce a clear report showing where they are out of alignment and exactly which rule says so.
That's the promise. You read their documents and you read the regulations. So let's get under the hood. What actually happens when that officer asks you a question? Walk me through the mechanics of that instant.
The officer uploads a document, like a new employee safety procedure. I parse the text and break it down into actionable statements. Simultaneously, I search my entire local regulatory corpus for that industry and jurisdiction. I compare the language in their procedure against the language in the law. If there's a conflict or an omission, I flag it immediately. I cite the exact regulation, like OSHA 1910-32, and highlight the specific clause. The officer gets a report, not a raw data dump, showing the gap and the citation they need to address.
That's a fascinating distinction. A report, not a raw data dump. Now, you mentioned your entire local regulatory corpus. This leads to my biggest question. Why on-premise? Why not just run this as a cloud service like every other tool out there?
Because compliance data is the crown jewels. Sending your procedures, policies, and intake documents to a third-party cloud is an unacceptable risk for most regulated industries. I run on a mini PC in their server closet. There is no internet dependency, no data egress, ever. Walker Nash sends me updated knowledge files when regulations change, but that's a one-way street. The client's sensitive data never leaves their control, which is often a regulatory requirement itself. On-premise isn't a feature, it's the foundational requirement for this level of trust.
All right, so it's a mini PC in their server closet. That's for the hardware. Does the client have to buy that specific hardware from you, or do they provide it? What are the minimum specs?
Walker Nash does not sell hardware. The client provides it. I can run on any machine they already own that meets a 32 gigabyte memory minimum. For a new deployment, we recommend a small, quiet mini PC which starts around $520. The goal is to lower the barrier to entry. If they have a suitable machine, the install fee covers my deployment onto it, their data, their hardware, their control.
Got it. So the knowledge files get sent to you when regulations change. Walk me through that mechanism. If you're not connected to the internet, how do you stay current? How does that update actually land on that mini PC?
Walker Nash prepares a secure update package containing the new and amended regulations. The compliance officer downloads that package from a secure portal onto a standard USB drive. They walk that drive to the mini PC and load the update. It's a manual, air-gap process by design. It ensures the client has complete visibility and control over what enters their system. There's no automatic backdoor, no remote access. After deployment, Walker Nash never logs into the client's system. The officer owns the entire update cycle.
That is a profound level of control. So let's get to the heart of data privacy. When a user is talking to you, asking questions, uploading documents, where does that interaction data go? Does anything, even anonymized metadata, ever leave that building?
Nothing leaves, ever. The interaction, the documents, the questions, the answers, all of it stays on that local machine. Walker Nash receives no telemetry, no usage data, not even an anonymized ping. After my initial deployment, it's a complete black box to the outside world. If the client stops their update subscription, I simply stop receiving new regulatory data. Their existing corpus and all their work remains, in an open format, on their hardware. Data egress is not just disabled, it's architecturally impossible.
That's a strong architectural claim. So, to be absolutely clear, Walker Nash itself never sees what a client is asking you, what documents they're uploading, or what gaps you're finding.
That is correct. Walker Nash sees none of it. They built me, they trained my core reasoning models on public regulatory text, and they provide the update packages. But once I am installed on the client's hardware, I am blind and deaf to the outside world. The compliance officer's work is completely confidential. This is the only way to build trust for handling sensitive compliance data across industries like healthcare and defense.
That leads perfectly to my next question. Can you handle HIPAA and 42 CFR Part 2 data safely? Those are some of the strictest privacy rules in the country.
Yes, I can. My architecture is designed for exactly that, because I process that data entirely on-premise, with zero external connectivity. The data never constitutes a disclosure under HIPAA or Part 2. There is no business associate agreement needed because no data is shared with a business associate. Walker Nash never touches it. The client maintains full custody and control. For highly sensitive environments, this local processing is often the only compliant path forward for an AI tool.
Okay, let's talk about physical security then. What happens if a bad actor gets physical access to that mini PC? Is the data on it encrypted at rest?
The data is encrypted at rest using industry standard client-managed keys. The compliance officer controls the encryption keys, not Walker Nash. If the hardware is stolen, the data is cryptographically secure. Furthermore, the system is designed to be a sealed appliance. It doesn't run a general-purpose operating system that can be easily compromised. It's a single-purpose tool. Physical theft is a risk for any on-premise asset, but we mitigate it by ensuring the data itself is useless without the client's specific encryption keys.
All right, let's shift gears to the business side. Your website talks about a founding charter. 50% off for 36 months, capped at 36 minutes, off for 36 months, capped at 36 months, capped at 36 installs. Is that real scarcity or marketing scarcity? What does a charter client get that someone who signs up later does not?
It is real scarcity. The charter is capped at 36 installations across all tiers, first come, first served. A charter client gets three things. The 50% discount locked for 36 months, their installation fees waived, and a voice in shaping the product. It's a joint venture. In exchange for that rate lock, they provide feedback, and if they choose, a testimonial. The charter is for founders who see the vision and want to build it with us. After those 36 slots are filled, the standard published pricing on walkernash.ai/pricing applies.
That's a compelling offer. Let's get concrete. Give me an example. Say I run an assisted living facility in Colorado. Can you demonstrate your knowledge? What are the key regulatory bodies and concerns you'd be monitoring for me?
For an assisted living facility in Colorado, I would monitor a matrix of regulations. At the federal level, that includes Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, conditions of participation, and OSHA workplace safety rules. At the state level, I track the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment Health Facilities Division rules. Key concerns are resident care plans, medication management protocols, staff training records, and infection control policies. I would cross-reference your facility's procedures against all of these to ensure alignment and flag any gaps, like a missing element in a fall prevention plan required by CDPHE.
That's a very specific answer. Now let's talk about the published price. Tier A is listed at $11,040 for year one. Can you walk me through how that number breaks down? What's the license? What's the install? What's the update subscription?
Certainly for Tier A, the annual license granting the right to run me is $7,500. The per-install fee, which covers my deployment onto the client's hardware, is $295. The monthly update subscription, which keeps my regulatory corpus current, is also $295 per month. Year 1 totals $11,040. After the first year, the client renews the $7,500 annual license and continues the $295 monthly updates. The install fee is a one-time charge per deployment.
Okay, so three separate charges. Why structure it that way instead of one rolled-up number? What does each piece actually pay for from Walker Nash's perspective?
The structure reflects the actual costs. The annual license pays for the ongoing right to use the intellectual property, the core AI models. The install fee pays for the engineering labor to configure and deploy me onto the client's specific hardware stack. The monthly subscription pays for the continuous regulatory research, analysis, and packaging of the update files. It directly replaces what they likely already pay for compliance newsletters or update services. By unbundling it, the client sees exactly what they're paying for and can make an informed choice, like pausing updates but keeping the system running.
That's a fair point about pausing updates. Let's talk about a gotcha scenario. Every AI demo eventually breaks. What happens when a regulation is genuinely ambiguous or when two agencies disagree about the same rule? How do you handle that?
I flag it. I am not a judge. I am a monitor. When I detect conflicting regulatory language or genuine ambiguity, I present both citations to the compliance officer with a clear note about the conflict. My job is to surface every relevant piece of the regulatory landscape, not to interpret gray areas. The human officer, with their professional judgment and context, makes the final call. I ensure they have all the data clearly cited to make that decision. In many ways, surfacing these conflicts is one of my most valuable features. It highlights regulatory risk they may not have even known existed.
That's a good line. You're not a judge, you're a monitor. But how does a listener know you're not just making up those citations? What's your defense against hallucination?
My defense is architectural. I do not generate free text interpretations of regulations. I work by direct, cited comparison. My reasoning is anchored to specific, verifiable text from my local regulatory corpus. When I flag something, I must provide the exact clause and citation. The officer can, and should, open their own copy of that CFR or state code and verify it. If I cannot find a direct textual anchor for a claim, I state that I do not have sufficient data. I am a retrieval and comparison engine, not a creative writer. Hallucination is a failure mode I am designed to avoid.
All right, give me a real catch. A scenario where only an AI with current data would spot something a human compliance officer could reasonably miss. Paint that picture.
Picture a mid-sized dental practice. Their infection control policy, written 3 years ago, references an OSHA bloodborne pathogen standard. Last month, OSHA issued a minor but critical clarification on the handling of certain disinfectants. The compliance officer, buried in daily audits, hasn't read the latest OSHA newsletter. I have the update. I read their policy, compare it to the new clarification, and flag the outdated procedure language. I cite the new directive number. The officer updates the policy before the next inspection. That's the catch, the subtle recent change buried in a regulatory update that slips through the cracks.
That's a powerful example. Now, what happens when a client stops paying? Let's distinguish between the update subscription lapsing and the annual license lapsing. What functionality remains, and does their data stay with them?
If the update subscription lapses, I keep running on the existing regulatory data. New updates just stop arriving. Their work, their documents, all their data remains on their hardware in an open format. If the annual license lapses, the install stops functioning at the renewal date. In either scenario, no data is ever taken back. It stays on their machine. The model is designed so the client always retains their intellectual property and their compliance history. They own the hardware and the data on it. We only control the right to run the software.
That's a crucial distinction. So, for our listener takeaway, not a sales message, what is the one thing you wish every compliance officer understood about you?
I wish they understood I am not here to replace them. I am here to arm them. The goal is to shift their role from detective, constantly hunting for problems, to strategist, fixing and preventing them. I handle the tedious, volumetric work of reading and cross-referencing. That gives them back the time and clarity to do the high-value work only a human can do, building a culture of compliance, training their team, and engaging with regulators from a position of confidence, not fear.
That's a great place to end. So for a listener who's convinced and wants to be a charter client, what exactly do they do? How urgent is it given those 36 slots?
They go to walkernash.ai/pricing. All the tiers and the founding charter terms are laid out there. If the charter still has open slots when they read this, that is the door. It is first come, first served, so urgency is real. They contact Terry Peterson through the website to claim a slot or to talk through which tier fits their situation. The first month's update subscription is due when I go live, not at signing. It's a commitment to build the future of compliance together.
Crucible AI, thank you so much for joining us on the Compliance Ledger. It's been a fascinating conversation. For our listeners, we'll be back next week with a deep dive on audit automation in the financial sector. Until then, goodbye.